Today, we thank you for the transition that's taking place in Sherry's life, Lord. We pray, Lord, as she makes these steps to move to a new land, that she will allow you to lead and guide her completely and not put her hand in the process at all. Father, I thank you so much for your hand upon her and her life and protection and safety over her as she's relocating, Lord. And we thank you for the joy that comes with a new land. So help her to experience that joy and be okay being dependent on you every step of the way. And God, straight up, I'm asking the same thing that I just prayed for Sherry for myself, because that sounded pretty awesome and surrendery. And so God, have your way as you speak through me. I know that you've got me covered, and that you'll be able to speak without my input today. In Jesus' name, amen. So a few weeks ago, Holy Ghost said to me, if I ever call you to preach last minute, don't you ever say you don't have nothing to talk about. If you have a relationship with me, you have something to talk about. So I got a text, but I put on my do not disturb at night. Favorites can call me if there's an emergency, and anybody can call if they double call, but text messages used to wake me up, so I just keep that to sleep. So I woke up this morning, pastor said, can you share the message? I said, yes, sir, and that was it, okay? So as I was just praying, and again, if we have a relationship with God, what we're going through and growing into should be easy for us to kind of just, right, at least we have a subject. But we still have to rely on the Holy Ghost to give us the words to say at that self-same hour, correct? Amen. So as I was praying, there's so much that's happened over the past couple of years. There's so much I thought I could share, but the things that God was speaking in my heart were very simple. Pastor's been preaching about repentance, right, the past 2 weeks, and God has really been speaking to me just about pride versus humility and the fruits thereof for either one. So I have some scriptures, but Holy Ghost is having his way. That's it, okay? So for the past, I'm gonna say 2 years. Let me know if I'm talking too loud. But for the past 2 years, I've been on a journey of repentance. I think that's the name of the message.
Okay.
We'll see. So for these past couple years, personally, I've been on a journey of repentance. Just a disclaimer, anything that is said through this mouth is about my life and my experience. I hope you can relate to it, but you may not be able to relate exactly to the experiences, but the spirit that we serve is the same spirit, God, right? So my prayer is that you can walk away with something of substance. One of the things that God showed me during my journey of repentance is the definition of repentance for me is change that you cannot take credit for. Okay, when he gave me that revelation, and I don't know how much of my personal journey I'm going to share. A few weeks ago, pastor had said, he was sharing something about me, and I said to him from that seat, go ahead, tell the whole story. And he said, no, because that would be giving the focus to you, and I want to keep that focus on God and what he's doing. So some of my business may be minded, we'll see. But when he gave me that definition, I had been maybe 5-6 months into a process of needing to be still to allow God to change me. Now, y'all have known me for, I think it's been almost 20 years that I've been in this ministry. And you've seen a lot of shades and versions and definitions of Lindsay over the years. Personally, I love this Lindsay. I think she's the best version so far. I am proud. I cannot take credit for her. But I know it ain't the same Lindsay it was 2 years ago. And I give God glory for that. So when God said to me, repentance is change that you cannot take credit for, immediately I understood, you are the one changing me. The Word of God says that God works in us both to will and to do. Now, what I've learned over these past 2 years is there are a lot of scriptures that I know here, and even that I feel good about here. But when it came down for me to have to repent, for me to be challenged with the state of my heart and lay it all down before God, those scriptures really became life to me. I became dependent on them because I realized I cannot change me. And I've spent 38 years of my life trying to do so and failing at it. Who has time for that? So that being said, I want us to start with Psalm 51. If you could turn with me, please, to Psalm 51. Turn as I turn. So in my journey of needing to be still and be quiet, and really being still and being quiet has taken on many different definitions. And I personally learned about the spirit of being still and being quiet before God through Nellie. She's the one that really introduced that to me. And I will say over the past couple of years, it's looked a little different. But for me, being still and being quiet is me not having my fingerprints in what God wants to do in me. And so Psalm 51, verse 3 says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." Oh God, when he led me to this, in my time of repentance, and in that time of having to lay before him and be completely dependent, I was so focused for so many years on trying to please man. I just thought that that was the way to go, that I was a people pleaser, and I needed to make sure people were pleased with me and they liked me, and if I made a mistake, I would, oh, woe is me, and drag myself to, most of you have gotten that experience with me, where I would feel sorry for myself and apologize, but not really intentionally be changed, because I wasn't still enough to be changed, and I didn't want it enough to be changed, and I was afraid to be still because I knew that what would come out of me being still would be ugly and dirty and sin. And so it got to the point where I was broken enough where I said, okay, I gotta change. I can't keep doing this. So this is when God led me to Psalm 51, and one of the things he said to me or showed me that really has been an anchor in my life is, I'm taking you from doing things for man's approval now to everything you do as unto me. Amen. I'm separating that need, that almost addiction, okay? And so when he showed me in my time of really, really being before him and just saying, God, forgive me, I've sinned over and over, help me. Okay, against you and you only have I sinned. So instead of me running to try and fix stuff with man, and really not even sit and check in with God, God was like, nope, no more of that. And so he led me to Psalm 51. Against you and you only have I sinned. Why is this so important? Because for these past 2 years, I've made mistakes. But the one that I go to for acceptance and approval and who I ask or seek for, are you pleased with, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords first and foremost. That's it. And if that's it for the rest of my life, and that's what God showed me, if it's just you that I have to please, that's what I'm going to focus on. And so now it's not just words. I used to talk a lot, but I feel like I was never connected or didn't have my own revelation to the words I was saying. Now you can't take it from me. If I've sinned, I go before him. And if he gives me instruction to apologize or to make amends, oh, I'll do it. I will do it. Because he's the one who's leading and guiding me. It's not me trying to fix something for a temporary human approval. Am I speaking to somebody today? Okay. Yeah, we can't get caught up in that cycle. It's a vicious, awful cycle. Pastor taught me about cycles years ago. It's not good. Because what happens is, truly and realistically, and this is where we're going to get to pride, you are the center of that process, not the Holy Ghost. It's not God. When you're constantly seeking or feel like you need approval or you're dependent on anything other than God, it really puts you in the center. So when God was walking me through repentance, one of the things he said is, I want to walk you through why you've been the way you've been. I'm like, dang, God, you couldn't have just, you know, like Thanos, and my past is just infinity dust. He ain't do that. So it took some time. And you know what I've learned? It can be so scary to want to say yes to God when you feel like you aren't worthy of an alternative of what you've practiced over and over and over in your mind, heart, and spirit, but just go through the feeling of fear and get to the surrender. I promise you the other side is way better, and you're not going to want none of that mess. And you're going to realize it's mess. But you don't realize it's mess sometimes until you surrender and allow God to even make you willing to let it go. If I'm not preaching to anybody, I'm reminding myself of what God has brought me through. I tell you what. And he continues to do. So let's talk a little bit about pride. And no need to go to scriptures. I have a couple here. So Proverbs 16 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 11 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. And the last one is this one really spoke. Look at the proud one. His soul is not right within him. But the righteous will live by his faith in the true God. Now, realistically, can I move? Okay. How many of us have ever been asked by God to surrender or lay something down that we really prized? Okay. I'll just say me. I wish I could raise all my limbs, okay? And how many of us have not said yes right away and or potentially not said yes yet, if we're being honest? I still got some stuff myself where I'm like, Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me. I know that this right here is a mess. Help me to give it to you all the way. Help me to not love it so much so that I can give it to you, right? Amen? So what God was showing me is the deception of pride is that pride wants to keep you as the center. It wants to keep you as like the one on the main stage. And pride for me, again, I'm sharing my story, has had many different faces. Depression, thoughts of suicide, wanting to not be around anyone, feeling super like exalting myself, feeling like I had to be the one to do the show and the dance, even at other people's costs. Okay, pride for me has also been a false sense of humility. Well, I don't know. I guess if God calls me to it, then it, nah. Pride keeps you in the center. When God begins to work on your heart to take that pride out and replace it with humility, it's less and less and less and less of you, more and more and more of him and his word and his spirit in you. Amen. We can't do that. That's God's job. We can't, all right? Just be free. You can't do it. You can't fix yourself. The only thing that you can do is surrender and be intentional with your will, giving it to him. Okay? So important. And so here's the other thing that God was showing me. When we act out of pride, oh, I'm sorry, fear, hello, another form of pride. Well, I don't know if I can do it. Well, I sure can. Well, I don't know. I don't know. I. So one of the things that God showed me in this, I've acted out of it so many times, pride and fear is not there to comfort you after you act out of it. It's just not there. So pushes, pushes, pushes for you to act, and then, oh, well, where are you now? Who do we have to go to for comfort? Who do we have to run to when we've sinned or messed up? It's God, so why not just start with him? So here's a deception that I really, it's been on my heart so strong to just to break and expose. And I'll use me, all right, fine, God. So as you guys know, I was an artist. I had 2 albums out, things were going great. I experienced some rejections in the industry and I walked away. That was not an overnight process. Packing up and deciding that you're a failure or allowing fear to get in the way takes more time and energy than pushing through and pushing forward in faith. And I want to break that down so you can understand. This wasn't a, oh, I'm not going to sing anymore. This is the only thing I've ever wanted to do. It was the little seeds, the doubts, the feelings of rejection that I gave into. Then I gave into eating emotionally, and that's when I started to gain all the weight because I was feeling so guilty that I walked away and I felt like I was a failure. You know, remember I said the cycle, and it was me, 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 and I? So that whole cycle, it took some time. So, and I promise you, God keeps your destiny on your shelf. If you truly are his and you have his heart, it's waiting for you. All right? So it's just going to be a matter of time before Lindsay R. Watson and music and all that. Child, I ain't worried about it. And I'm writing and learned to do some mini producing. Pastor walked me through how to do it. I'm not worried. But it took some time for me to get to this place. So what I'm trying to share is those pitfalls that I kept falling into or willfully jumping into because it was the only cycle I had rehearsed enough. Okay? If you want a magnetic force to not be magnetic, you got to remove the magnet from the source it could be attracted to. That's daddy's job. You just got to be willing to say no more magnetic force. It's his job. And he can do it like that. For me, he didn't. And I cried out so many times, God, just fix me, God. You don't have to walk me through. Oh, yes, I do. Looking back now, I'm grateful. Okay, because now I understand, if it's too much of you, you know what's going to happen and you know what the consequences of those are. Check yourself early before you get judged or before you miss an opportunity and have to wait and pray for it to hopefully come back again. Can we be real?
Yeah.
Can we be real?
Yeah.
Amen? So I don't want to abuse God's grace. And I think Psalm 51 for me, it's in addition to against you and you only have I sinned, that scripture that says, my sin is always before me, that's very important because when God comes to me about anything, I'm no longer running and hiding. I'm like, yep, my sin's always before me, Lord, you're right. I got to get this to you. Can you help me do it? Can you help me surrender this to you? You know, I love carbs or sugar or whatever your thing may be, right? Over talking. You know, whatever it may be, can you help me give this to you? So automatically that grace gets activated for you to surrender. Don't think that God is at the end waiting for you to get to him. He's along with the sin the whole journey. He's black, white, and gray, and everything in between. Mess is his specialty, at least for me, okay? And he knows how to clean up some mess. And he knows how to do it permanently. Can someone say permanent change? Okay, now let's go back to the repentance. That change you can't take credit for. So as he's walking me through, amen, Lord, the slipperiness of pride, I'm like, okay, well, this feels a little overwhelming. How am I going to not be all these things that I've been all this time? Step by step. And learning to embrace and rejoice in each step and be okay that it's step by step, okay? It took me 38 years to be broken, to have to repent. It's not going to take me 38 years to get in line with God. But however long he sees fit for me to be completely healed, to do what he wants me to do for him in my life, child, Lord, have your way, okay? I'm not putting no timetable on nothing anymore. No. Okay, now that's me. I don't know if that speaks to any of y'all, but yeah. If you walk with God, you grow so much. Let's quickly go over the things that God gave me. So signs that pride may be in your heart, and then the signs of humility and the fruit of them, right? So consequences go both ways. Consequence is not it's not a bad connotation. Consequence is the result of decisions that are made, pretty much. So this is what God showed me and how he walked me through it. Signs of pride may be in your heart. This is what was in my heart. I wasn't growing. I was still in the same place, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. I'll just start with those. Repentance being that change you can't take credit for, I used to apologize. Like no one else here could. If there was a job for that, if someone needs to hire a professional apologizer, I got the gig, okay? But it wasn't, it wasn't genuine repentance. And so one of the things that Lord showed me and walked me through in pride is when God checks us or when we sin, the pride gets in the way of us being able to repent to him easily. And it gets in the way of us seeking him to make those amends with him and line up with him. Don't worry about people. We just talk about us and daddy, okay? Another sign of pride.
So how you doing? Oh, everything's great. What I find with people who have that humility or have been walked through getting free from pride, Pastor, Nelly, I'll use as my examples. If there's pride that gets in the way, you don't find yourself talking about how God is checking you because you're not willing to expose the reality of your humanity. But when you're walking with God and that humility has some say, you can easily say, yeah, I'm good. Yeah, God just checked me the other day. I got a big check. This is what happened, and this is what he and I are doing. Pride won't let you do that. Pride, for me, and let me not speak as if I'm speaking over all of you. Again, these are things God showed me. Forgive me. Not loving and embracing counsel. And let me just come out here for a second. Put my hand on my hip. Who told us to be offended with counsel and correction? What lie? If there is a lie of lies, that's at the top of the list. Child, we need counsel and correction and instruction. We need to be led and guided, and we will need to be until the end of days when we go home to be with Jesus. Can we just embrace and accept that that is not an enemy? That's our friend. Keeps you out of the fire. I've been through some fires. I don't want to get burned no more. I've been through some fires, and I don't want to get burned no more. I like my bank account the way it looks now. I like the peace and joy I have when I wake up in the morning because I know that I have a connection, a direct connection with my Maker. I'm loving the covenant that I'm beginning to enjoy with my Father, and I don't want to lose that out of offense or pride, again, with Lindsay in the middle, if I feel like I can't accept. I love correction, I embrace it, I receive it. Even if my flesh has its reaction in the beginning, don't get it twisted, on my way home, we getting together, me and Jesus, and we talking about that, and I digest it, and now I'm able to just say yes, faster and faster. I'm telling you right now. And counsel is beautiful. When God has you go to people, it's not just you obeying. You're giving somebody else the opportunity to be a blessing and to share what's in their spirit as well. So if you need that, if that's helpful for you, if God is leading you to talk to people, specific people, do it. Do it, okay? Don't miss that opportunity. So pride gets in the way of that. And we don't have time for that. Being jealous and envious of others' success and growth. Lack. I'm going to put those two things together because for me, they've tied in. There were so many years where I would be jealous of anybody's growth. I would compare myself internally because I'd walked away from music. I would compare myself internally because I gained weight. I would allow the enemy to keep that cycle going on and on and on and on and on. What a waste of time, waste of time. Because there was no one in this room who is me. We all have our similarities, but don't get it twisted. There's one Lindsay called by God to do what Lindsay's called to do, just as there is one you called by God to do what you are called to do. And it is a waste of time to compare yourself at any level to anyone else. We are supposed to be there for one another and to support one another. And iron sharpen iron, we're supposed to encourage and push one another. But by no means are we supposed to compare ourselves or sit and feel as though we are less than. God sure didn't introduce that thought to us. Yet, give him glory. Amen. He sure didn't introduce that to us. We on our own are his. We together are strong for his purpose. Yeah, there's no time for that. That's a waste of time, my brothers and sisters. Lack, pride, lack. They go, honestly, to me, they go hand in hand. Because humility and honor, let me tell you, honor just ain't being spoken well of, which is awesome, is being provided for over and over and continuously and without limit, okay? So we don't want lack of any kind. So if there's any lack in your life, any kind of lack, God, is there pride in my heart somewhere? Show me right now so I can lay it down because I'm tired of this lack. And it is okay to go to God because you're tired of lack. It's okay to go to him if you're tired of not growing. Just be willing to be still enough for him to show you the mess, okay? It may feel uncomfortable in the moment, but I guarantee God promises it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace and joy. You'll have a whole life to live on the other side. All right, let's talk about the signs of humility. Let me make sure I got, yep. You're growing. When God was showing me, he said, well, what are the signs of humility in your life? What's the fruit? I'm growing. You know, being able to accept correction, being able to just repent to him, just living a life and accepting that I have a life that's worth living, that I don't have to try and be anybody or be like anybody, but I could truly authentically just love Lindsay the way God created me. Oh, you can't take it. You can't take it. You can't take it. But I can't stress enough. God said to me a while ago, he said, don't think that you're just going to talk about the good fruit without talking about the process, Lindsay. That's not what I called you to do. So this may be a little more process heavy than fruit heavy, okay? But I'm telling you, I have the fruit now, and I'm beginning to taste the fruits because I went through the process. God, you're so good. So with humility, there's growth. And it's not growth that just, hey, how you doing? Girl, I'm growing. Let me tell you how. No, everybody around you should be able to see it, even if they can't pinpoint it. I've been hearing a lot, you're glowing. Well, I'm not pregnant. Right? But I keep hearing, you're glowing. When you walk into the room, I just noticed you right away. You look, my friend Kiana said she saw like a picture of me. She's like, you look different. You're glowing. There's just something different about you. People don't always have to pinpoint it, but they know the essence. They know the spirit. Saved and unsaved. People can identify change. Amen? So you're growing. You're glowing. Your change can be noticed by others. Now, this is a big one for me. You're prospering for me without my hands really being in the midst. I am provided for now multiple ways. I can't say I've really done anything other than repent and just line up. I'm going to be honest with you. Hasn't been much, but dang it, I'm staying repentant and I'm staying lined up because I like being on this side. Jeff, you can relate, right? I like being provided for. Praise God, I just paid off all my credit cards. That's a big deal. Okay? Praise God, I started doing started recording videos about weather and preparedness. Huh. Praise the Lord. Praise God, during the pandemic, I started a new business. Yeah, right? Which has thousands in the bank account. That's a big deal for me. Even though I'm believing for the millions and I'm expecting it. Remember we talked about process, step by step? I've rejoiced in the single dollars. I've rejoiced in the hundreds of dollars. Now I'm rejoicing in the thousands of dollars. And I know soon I'll be rejoicing in the millions. And it'll continue to grow from there. I'm okay with the step by step. Praise God. Another fruit of humility. And I don't know how to describe this. And then you got to let me know timing. Just let me know how much time I have left. I have 30 minutes left? So how much time I have left? Okay, so I'll say 30 in my mind. So, and thank you so much. So one of the things that I don't know how you can describe it, but you know when you wake up and you just have peace, you wake up with a smile on your face. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. I haven't really had this experience genuinely. I've woken up excited because maybe it was going to be a good day, you know, going out to the grocery store, which I love to do, you know, whatever. Or if there's a severe storm coming that day, I'll smile on my face, right? But just the genuine, for no reason, waking up with joy, I can't say I've genuinely experienced that back to back to back, but I have begun to experience that. And so when you think about a fruit of humility, you, as you surrender to God and he changes you, It's not just so you can do right by him. It's so that your inner being becomes him. He is love. He is joy. He is peace all the time. He sure is patient with our He sure is patient with my knuckleheaded behind, okay? He's all the things that love describe. So how is God not going to make you like him when you surrender to him? It's impossible. So this joy, waking up from, why am I smiling? All right, I'll take it. Because I like being on this side a lot better. Yeah. All right, so let's go into a little bit more of a dig with my mess. And I pray this is encouragement for you. Please go to Psalm 17, verse 5. Now, last week I was out. I got a chance to see my dad and Sharon. I hadn't seen them since last February. And we had such a good time. I went with my niece. My niece drove by herself from Connecticut to Pennsylvania. And I know. And then she and I drove to VA. And I bring that up because it was nice. It was relaxing. I took Sunday off. We drove on Sunday. It was great. So I listened to the message after. So I said, oh, Lord, this is a pretty good message, and there's a lot of my background and journey in there, so why not just kind of build on that a little bit? So when Pastor was talking about Fia and how I would always go to him and say, well, I'm the one who wasn't in my place, therefore Fia didn't work. And God, again, sign of humility, Pastor would say, God checked me as well. I wasn't in my place. We both had to be in our places, right? So the thing that broke me from trying to fill Pastor's shoes or do what he did or be controlling was this scripture. And let me say was and is. So I'm going to read just a few verses from Psalm. I'm sorry, I said 17. I meant 16. Forgive me. It's Psalm 16, verse 5. And it says, Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and I have a delightful inheritance. I'm going to just stop right there. Some of us know what we're called to. Some of us are still working it out. Am I right? Is that a fair assessment? Or maybe we have an essence, but the hows and the whats we're still walking with God on. Show of hands if that's you. Okay, one hand. All right. So, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Here's what's happened. As I was in that season and journey of repentance and really began it, God began to separate the pride in me from who Lindsay actually is by his spirit. And what I found is there are a lot of great attributes that I was ignoring because I had accepted the lie that it wasn't enough. Who has time for that? There's no more time. There's no more time for that. So the biggest one was my calling by God to serve and to be a servant and specifically to serve Pastor. I knew when I came to this church that it was part of my destiny to help him in his destiny. And so over the years, a lot of ups and downs. And for to me, again, I know I didn't keep us continuing to work together. I feel like I did everything to separate us, but God has his purposes and his plans. I tell you what, stronger than our knuckleheadedness, praise God. So God really just showing me like, yo, your service is dope. Don't sleep on that. And so then from there, and him showing me, I serve him. Everything I do unto him. God took that need for approval or feeling like I had to do everything to feel valuable in my time of being still and just gave me my boundary lines. Boundary lines are beautiful because if you run around without structure or boundaries, it's actually chaos. That's the life, for the most part, that I've lived on the inside. You can dress it up all you want, but chaos is chaos, honey. And you could dress down. When you have structure and boundaries, you can wear whatever you want. It's structure and boundaries, okay? We're talking about the inside right now. So he, as he was showing me my boundary lines, at first I was like, this isn't enough. Like, come on, God. But then after more and more surrender and a practice of surrender, I just began to accept and embrace it. And forgive me, I don't want the sigh to sound like it was like, all right, well, I guess I'll settle. No, 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 no. I began to realize how much time I'd been wasting not enjoying the beauty of who God has called me to be for him and then for others through this gift of service. And so the business that he had me start is called Joy Fluent. It's had many several different versions, but right now this business is a virtual assistant business. Okay, so everything that I've been doing for free for years, God said, nope, you found your boundary lines now? Great, let's give it a value. How about you make some money off of it? How about you continue to help others because this gift to serve applies. And so there are many people here and outside. I could never talk about it, the service and the way God uses me. It's not my place to, and what he's doing for me brings me behind the scenes. But after being able to embrace the gift, I feel like at that point he began to excel it and prosper it. Notice I didn't say me. He began to excel and prosper the gift that he gave to me in service. And so I can proudly say Joy Fluent is doing well. I've been able to give other people opportunity, hire some contractors to do work, get some money in their pockets. There are so many different things I've been exposed to and I'm learning about, and I'm seeing how it's all tying in now. But that didn't happen in the chaos. God doesn't need chaos to get us to our destiny. He needs us to be still so he can take the chaos from us and give us our boundary lines and have us fall in love with what's in those boundary lines. Amen. Remember when I said, I think it was, there's no other me here and there's no other you. We got our similarities, but ain't nobody called like I am to do. Okay, this confidence came in, wow, God, look at these boundary lines. Oh, okay, all right, there's the boundary. Okay, oh, wow, really? Yo, that's awesome. That could make a lot of money. It was just like this whole experience in repentance, in being still. So if you think about repentance, and I want to paint a maybe a balanced picture, repentance isn't, oh, it's me, or I'm just going to be still until God changes me. If you think about it, you are falling out of love with the older version of you and falling in love with the God version of you. Okay, so embrace repentance. Embrace the process and the step. Oh, God, it is so flippant uncomfortable at times that you want to run and hide because everything is exposed and you may have to apologize to people for the love of everything. That is nothing compared to the freedom that comes through the fruit of humility and repentance. It is nothing, okay? It's nothing. I give you my word on that. So, I think I'm almost finished. So, okay, let's go back to Psalm 16. Are you guys good? Is this any of this speaking? Because I know y'all would tell me the truth. Okay, that's what I love about this house. You're going to get the truth. Amen. Okay. So Psalm 16, verse 7 says, I will praise the Lord who, somebody say this word with me, counsels me. Even at night, my heart, someone say this word, instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. I will not be shaken. Weren't we just talking about being able to embrace correction and instruction? And it starts with God. It starts with his correction, his rebuke, his leading, his guidance. And the promise is that you'll never be shaken. Child, don't think I haven't been sin free, but I ain't shaken. I don't go home now feeling like, oh, my life should just end, or crying. I used to do this. It was just an awful cycle. I don't even want to talk about it because it wasn't godly and it wasn't him focused. See, and this is the thing. I could talk and talk, but there are two things that really, or three things that really have changed me, these revelations. One, everything I do is unto the Lord. You know what that did for me as well? It took the need for dependence, but it also allowed me to serve y'all with a pure heart, because I wasn't attached to look for your approval or thrown off if somebody didn't say something. Forget it. All right? You're good, you're not. I'm serving God, and I'm serving God by serving y'all. Now, I don't know if there's been a noticeable difference. I just know in me, I know when I'm here in this ministry, I'm here for him. And I love it. It makes me feel good. And again, he's excelling and prospering that gift of service because I'm here for him, right? And God, you're so good. So that was the one thing. The second thing is my purpose to serve is not, if you think about people in the hotels who have their carts and get the dirty towels and all that, that's not all service is. And we shouldn't look at service as less than. As a matter of fact, with this gift to serve, you could have access to all of the king's rooms and offices because you offer a value that everyone will need at some point in life. Everyone God sends to me to help through Joy Fluent is a visionary. Well, guess who's our visionary? Pastor, right? So all these years of supporting him from the administrative side and even warring with him and finally surrendering to this is my role, these are my boundaries, I get to use those experiences to help multiple other people who have vision. Now, I'm not diving in to serve them like him. This temporary help, right? And I'll grow with you or hire staff to really support you. But I've had that training. I've had that training with that gift. If you have a gift to serve, value it. Fall in love with that gift. You will always be needful. You will always be useful. And you will always be valuable. Amen. So verse 9. Says, therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Now, I feel like there's a wrap-up coming on. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. Remember I was sharing waking up and just smiling for no reason? It was joy. He does that. He's giving me that. It ain't me. All right? It's not me. Sometimes I feel like I mess up and I wake up and I'm just messy. But I still have joy from him. I still have validation and approval from him. And no one can take that now from me because I'm not looking to any other source to get it. Jesus, thank you so much, God. You've made known to me the path of life. I talk to a lot of people. They don't know what they're supposed to do. They're not sure what their purpose is. But God promises that he makes known to us the path of life. And so if we start from the top, falling in love with what we're called to do, those boundary lines, taking that counsel and that instruction, trusting in him, resting in him, surrendering to him willfully, even the things that we may be in love with emotionally or spiritually or mentally, but still giving it to him, that promise for us is that we're clear with where we're going. That's what it says to me. I have no doubt that God has called me to speak, to serve, to preach, to sing, to help people prepare. I have no doubt. Right? He's called me to have 5 dogs. I have no doubt with any of that. He's called me to live in multiple mansions. I know I'll have multiple properties, not just because to say it, but because there's going to be a need for it. He's going to be sending me across the globe. Okay, I'm good. That's fine. Okay? So, Jesus. Honestly, I don't know how to wrap this up because this is my life and the chapters have not ended. So, I hope y'all got something. I want to just pray really quick, and then we'll live our lives. Amen? Father, I just thank you so much for this house. I thank you for our spiritual covering, our pastor, Lord. I thank you for all of the ministers of the gospel who are in this place. God, I ask that you just move by your spirit in the hearts of each and every one of us, God. Move us to the place of surrender. Move us to the place of yielding to you consistently and with a commitment. Yield us from the thing, or move us from the things that we have been attached to and maybe afraid to let go of because we don't know any other way. Forgive us, Lord God, for resisting you in any area. We willfully do not want to do that, but we may need your help to not do that. And so, God, I'm asking for your grace to come in, even for the will right here and right now, that there may be do, that there may be action in the name of Jesus right now, God. We declare that we are a house of surrender and submission, God, and we thank you, Lord, that the gifts and callings are without a shadow of repentance. If we've walked away from something you've called us to, you're keeping it on the shelf, Lord God. And so we choose to forgive ourselves for all the sins we've committed. We ask that you forgive us, God. Against you and you only have we sinned, and we return to you, right here and right now. I declare your peace. I declare humility to take over any areas where pride may have been, and for humility to abide and remain. And we thank you for the victory and for the paths of life that you've called us to live. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you believe and receive anything from God, just give him praise. Let him hear from you. God is so good.